Okay, let's start from page Reish Yud, Simen Lamed Zayin. We're really up to Simen Lamed Ches, but we're going to go over a couple of Shiyonim and Simen Halacha. It's on page Reish Yud, Simen Lamed Zayin. On the bottom, let's start from Shloi Lahat Pilim Bin Haros. We learned in the Shkitz Shachanoch that you're not supposed to be Toivel in a river. You have to be very careful if you want to be Toivel in a river is flowing water. The Halach, let's review the Halach of a Mikvah. When it comes to a Mikvah, there are two types of mikvos. There's a natural spring water and there is rain water. If it's natural spring water, the halacha is you're allowed, if the water is flowing, the water is in movement, it's okay. However, if it's rain water, the water must be stationary. It may not be, the water may not flow. So what is the problem? A river. A river, most of the time, comes from two sources of water. Well, many times. There is natural spring water. There is natural water, which would then permit one to be tied below the river's motion. But many times, a lot of the water of the river, especially in the spring, comes from rain, melting rainwater. Snow, rainwater. And a river, by definition, is a body of water which is in motion. So you have to make a calculation, determination, if you want to be tied in a river. Since the river is flowing, what is the source of its water? If most of the water is from melting snow, then it's pasul. Then it's rainwater, and rainwater has to be stationary, may not be in motion. On the other hand, if most of the water of the river is spring water, then it's kosher. So that's what it said in the Kishon Torah. You have to make the determination depending on the time of the year. Spring, it's more of a problem. In the end of the summer, it's less of a problem. So here he says, Gimel Shlitim Benarvitz B'darki Tshuva, Mevi Miknes HaGdayla Shemutu LaHatvilam Benarvitz Afilu B'yam B'nisan V'lei Chashin Sherubu Adnofim Al Zechlem. He disagrees. He holds that rainwater, that a river is always okay. A river, I'm not exactly sure the lumnus, he holds that a river, even in the springtime, it's okay. I'm Chachmas Adam, the Bishas Hatchak, Mutula Hatbil Kli Zuchis Bishkeshelek, the Tfilosoi Vadid Rabban Hu Avaloi Bichli Matachis. So it seems to be said, then he goes, why are we being Toivel in snow? Are you allowed to be Toivel Kalim, Tfilas Kalim in snow?
Which time?
What do you mean? Oh, so that's what he seems to be saying over here. That snow is a shaila. There's a shaila. Do we consider snow to be water? So he makes a pshara that for kelim that only need tefillah midrabanan, like glass. Glass is not mentioned. All the kelim which require tefillah are mentioned in Parashas Matos. And only metals. There are six metals mentioned in Parashas Matos. Metal requires tefillah min, at least the six mentioned requires tefillah midraisa. Glass does not require tefillah midraisa. It requires tefillah midrabanan with a bracha. It's midrabanan with a bracha.
With a bracha.
And the reason why Chazal makbid on glass because anything which can be reconstituted, like glass, like metal, requires tefillah. What's the nature of metal? You can melt it down. If the utensil breaks or you have anything, it doesn't break. If you want, you can melt it. And you can transform it into another utensil. Glass has that same property. If you melt glass, it turns into a liquid, which you can reshape and you can reform. Therefore, glass is similar to a metal in that respect, and therefore requires tefillah midrabanan. Klei cheres, pottery, once it breaks, there's no going back. Yeah. There's nothing you can possibly do to cheres to reconstitute, to recycle cheres. Therefore, cheres does not require tefillah afilu midrabanan. Wood does not require because wood cannot be reshaped. Once a wood utensil breaks, that's the end. There's no such thing as taking wood and repairing it. It's done. It's finished. So it does not require tefillah. So he makes up pshara. When it comes to snow, since this machleik sapoiskim, what status does snow have? Some hold that snow is called mayim, some hold that it's not mayim. The melo you can be make when it comes to a kli which only requires tefillah midrabanan. But the kli requires tefillah midraisa. You have to be machmer not to be toivel kalim in snow. Now, what about the river? So it seems to be saying that since over here, maybe that's the same show when it comes to the river. Since the Suffolk, exactly, you have a river, what's the majority of the water? We do not know that the majority is spring water, is the majority rainwater. So maybe that's what he's alluding to. It's not really clear what he's alluding to. What's the reason? Maybe they can be makel when it comes to glass, there's more of grounds to be makel than when it comes to metal. The Bible, when it comes to metal, there's a big machlokes that place of Rav Moshe. I'm not sure, I know the footnotes of the Orv Shabbos, they bring this down, the machlokes of Rav Moshe, the Kabir of Yaakov Kamenetsky, some of the Gedoli Acharonim. What about metals that are not listed in the Torah, like aluminum? Aluminum is a new metal, they didn't exist. What other metals are new? What? Certain metals are not listed. Shaila is, are they deraisa or derabanan? So if I'm not mistaken, a Moshe holds it's deraisa. Even though the Torah only lists six metals, anything that is metal, even aluminum, it's deraisa. Other poskim say no. If it's not explicitly listed in the Torah, doesn't matter. It's not deraisa, but derabanan. It's no worse than glass. It's no worse than glass, and it does not require, and only requires Yisrael. And nafkaminis are going to be, you have sekis. Do you make a bracha, do not make a bracha, or different situations, like here you're using snow. So that would be a nafkamina when you're dealing with certain types of kelim. Do they require tzvila? Can you, if it's deraisa, you have to be more machmer. If it's rabban, you do not need more machmer. Okay, clay, porcelain. Okay, galit. V'yata nischadesh b'chol yom, kol mine kelim, nasi michoymer. I don't know the word is Michoimer Chemi chemical. Different. It's like he's writing this how many years ago? 60, 70 years ago. No, this is Shem Shem Alocha. Right, Bruin. Right, Brown. He's writing this, right? Brown is writing this, that today, every single day, there's a new chesh. You can imagine what he would say today. Today, I have no doubt. I mean, I'm not familiar with all the different types. All these new types of things that are made today, so different. What is the rule of? Do they require tefillah? So he says over here, the rule is the klala shel davar, the im nishbar yesh lo takana. Here is the rule of thumb. If it breaks, yesh lo takana, al de hatacha through melting, bo esh, have kichle zichuchis, vitzach tvila vilo, ein tzach tvila. The rule of thumb is, if it cracks, can you repair it? So most of these new things today, they cannot be repaired. A lot of them, not the metals, a lot of these porcelain types of things, they're made primarily from a base of earth. That's a lot of these new things are made from. Okay, they're glazed in all these fancy ways, but they're solidified. That then it would not require tefillah. Next, tefillah b'lo bracha. So we mentioned above that if you borrow or you rent from a guy, does not require tefillah. But if you borrow or rent kelim from a Jewish store, v'im shel esecha kelim mechem v'lim l'halacha hey. That means if you rent kelim from a Jew and the Jew has acquired these kelim from a non-Jew, so what status do you have? On the one hand, the kelim were manufactured by a goy. So being manufactured by a guy, that's not the case of the Torah. The case of the Torah is where you actually purchase kelim from directly from a guy. When you purchase kelim from a guy with guy manufactured, then of course you need the tefillah with a bracha. But here you're in the middle. I am acquiring it from a Jew, and the Jew has acquired it from a non-Jew. So what when you look at me, the third person, am I required now to be toivel the kelim with a bracha? So the shaila, it's not exactly the case of the Torah. So therefore, lechatchil, you have to be toivel it, but without a bracha. Tila b'loy bracha, ayin b'say tshuva, hevi mipichodesh, tulzerch, sudas gedoyla, mutu l'shtamish b'em below tefillah. That if you're really desperate, you can use kelim that you've rented or acquired from a Jew, and the Jew in turn has acquired them from a guy. B'loy tefillah. V'chein hella berach hashulchan. V'chein haminig shesholim kelim michen v'ni v'achar kach machzirin loy v'ein tov nosam. You don't have to be tov. So he's makel that if you borrow or rent kelim from a Jew, and the Jew from a storekeeper, and the storekeeper is Jewish, you don't have to be toivel. That's what he says. Very big chiddush. Ayin sham. Okay, I'm not. There must be more to this. I don't know. There must be more. We have to leave it for another time. Vav. Yisrael amachzik. Now we come to the next halacha. Yisrael amachzik. He owns the factory. What's Huta? Anyone know what Huta is?
What's Huta?
I don't know what Huta is. Yishol hamachzik Huta, she'oisin sham kleiz chuchis, that's the machine. Ve'apayalim ha'im enem Yehudim, ha'kelim sh'nasim sham shechim tilub le'bracha, I guess the factory. The factory is owned by a Jew, but it's operated by a non-Jew. So do the kelim require tefillah? The answer is yes, without a bracha. Yishol hamachzik Huta, ayin b'arki tshuva, she'el sham, she'ha'kol ho'lik achar bal ha'cha reshes, the manufacturer, the craftsman. Everything depends on who's the one that actually, the blower. If the Yisrael is Yisrael, the owner, and the workers are goyim, peturim me'atvila ulahapach imamachzik habayis chareshes chavi goy. The owner of the factory is the goy. Ve'apayalim Yisraelim tzrichim tvila. Everything depends on who's the owner. That's what it's over here. The Baal HaChareshes, the owner of the facility. The owner of the facility is a guy, it requires. If the owner is a Jew, it does not require, does not depend on the workers. It depends on the owner of the facility. That's what Howie Paskins.
The owner is a Jew, and has nothing to do with the plant.
If the, that's what it seems to be. That's what he says. It's, obviously, it's not so simple because the Kitta says faket. The Kitta says that you need quiet tefillah without a bracha. He brings the darkei tshuva. He's bringing from the darkei tshuva, which comes to show that not everyone agrees with what the Kitta says. Darkei tshuva says that the only thing that counts is the owner, the Baal Habayis. Even if the workers are goyim, it doesn't make a difference. The Baal Habayis is Jewish. You do not require tefillah. If the Baal Habayis is a goy and the workers, the goy never steps into the factory, never in his life, and the workers who make the kelim are Jewish, it does not, it requires tefillah. That's how the Darkei Tshuva. The Kitta seems to say that in that situation, you require tefillah without a bracha. Let's say the owner of the factory is a Jew and the workers are goyim, but it's such a geisha place, they work on Shabbos. How can you work on Shabbos? A star mechira l'Shabbos. I know I have a friend here. He told me this. I was talking about this Shabbos. He talked. Yeah, he has a help.
The angry process.
Yeah.
Works that way.
On Shabbos.
Yes.
A lot of businesses, they work on Shabbos. They have a star the mechira. So I have a friend. He has a place. He has a facility. He has a small facility in out probably I think New Jersey, and he told me this week, you know, he was open on Shabbos. It's open on Shabbos, and this week he decided. What?
Grossing is work that way.
Yeah, like that, a lot of these places. But this Shabbos, he decided no more Shabbos. He decided he doesn't want to be samech on Hetem Mechir Shabbos, and he closed down the Shabbos, and he lost a lot of members. He lost a lot of members because he told me Saturday is no big deal. Saturday he doesn't have so much business anyway. The big deal is Friday. Friday to shut down the place, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock. They go, what? Out of your mind? He's shutting down the place 2, 3 o'clock? So all these years he was open. Yeah, he was open on Shabbos also. He had a star. Every little people have. There's a star. Mechira. Star Mechira Shabbos.
One of the plant managers would end up having the profits.
Right. There's a whole way to do it.
That's how it works.
You have a special star. There are a couple of new books. A couple of things. It's a Shulchan Aruch. You have to have a partnership. You have a partnership with a guy. It's like, you know, you sell your chametz to a guy. You have a special star, a special partnership with the guy, and you work it out where you're able to do, where the profits, or the on Shabbos, it's under the authority of a non-Jew. So the Jew is not receiving any profits. It's very complicated. There are different ways to do it. It has to be structured in a very sophisticated way. It depends also on every business. It's a little bit different. I know he told me that his star, he went to an expert in Lakewood. There's a Rav in Lakewood that's a mumcha in making these. And he told me, he started explaining to me how it works, and it was too complicated for me to understand. It's a very complicated procedure. And the reason why he was telling me this is that now it's getting much more complicated because he decided that he's going to keep it closed for Shabbos. He just feels bad about it, even though he can be makel. There's no reason to be shulchanok. It's mutter. He doesn't want to do it anymore. But he's doing now construction. He has to do major renovations. And the only time they can really do the renovations is over the weekend, over Shabbos. It's a long time process. So now he has to go back to the Rav and consult with him what are the rules of doing the renovations over Shabbos. Can he rely as the old Shtar Mechira good? New Shtar Mechira. So it's very, very complicated. It just brings to mind Paul Reichman, Zichron Levracha. He was nifted out very recently, and there are many articles, and one of the big things they write about him was that he was very makbid not to close down on Shabbos. All the buildings, the World Financial Center in Lower Manhattan, on the other side of the West Side Highway, it was not built on Shabbos. Would you believe it? Those big buildings there, you go to Ground Zero, it was not done on Shabbos. Across from Ground Zero, right across the other side of the West Side Highway, all those big buildings. So those buildings, those are his buildings, Olympia, New York. He built those buildings. And they were not built on Shabbos. They were not built Friday afternoon. And the workers, it was like a big thing. How could you not work on Shabbos? And it's in the whole world. And you have a Shtar Mechira. He didn't want to do it. And yet they built the buildings, they write in the articles, they were built in record time. They beat all the records. And some go so far to say that 9/11, none of his buildings were touched. All those buildings were nothing, zero, no damage. And what's zechus? All the other buildings in the area, they all had a what's zechus? Zechus Shabbos. I mean, that's you can't say it, but there's something to it. But he brings over here this very interesting idea that if you have over here a factory, the factory is owned by a Jew and it's operated by Goyim. So according to the Pesach Tshuva, according to the Darkei Tshuva, it's a big deal. So it's operated by a Goy. It's owned by a Jew. You don't require tefillah. But, big but, if it's operated by a Goy, ad kdei kach, that it's open even on Shabbos, through the Shtar Mechir L'Shabbos, kinog b'vadai tzorich tefillah b'bracha, kevan shabalabayis v'apohalim heinachar. Because since on Shabbos, that's what the Shtar Mechira does. Unbelievable Kiddush. The Shtar Mechira transfers ownership to the Goy. That's the whole kunz. So even though there's some kelim that are owned by Jews, by Goy, Shabbos, in the weekday, but since a Goy already has a shutfis in the business, because that's how the head, the Shtar Mechira Shabbos works, so bevadai in this situation, the kelim do require tevilon. Okay, vayte, kosh chazonish. If the factory is a Jewish factory, you buy glass, right? You buy kelim all the time. You don't know where it comes from. Who knows? For all you know, then sometimes, but even China, who's the owner of all these businesses? No, a lot of things are owned by Jews. So what happens if you go and you buy glass and you do not know if the glass was manufactured by a Jewish owner or not? You don't know. If the mitzvahs in the world is that most, which is true, most people are going, afagav Yisrael kavua, even though there are places that are own Jews, so you'll say kol kavua kimechsa mechsa. It's like the shaila: if you have a piece of meat and you don't know from which store, there are nine stores that are kosher, and there's one store that's treif, and you find a piece of meat, and you do not, and you buy a piece of meat, and you do not know into which store you have entered. Did I enter into the nine stores that are kosher, or did I enter into the store that's treif, or vice versa? There was one store that's treif, and nine stores are kosher, and nine stores are non-kosher, and I went into one of the stores, and I do not know into which store I entered. So the rule is kol kavua. If it's parsh, if you find it in the street, it's one step removed, then you say call the parsh or parsh. But if you go into the store, you saw that there's nothing where it came from, then it's mechsal mechsa. So here we want to suggest that since there are definitely Jews who own shops that manufacture glass, and you now buy an item, you buy some glassware, or you buy other kalim, so therefore it's very, so this, why there's an ar, you can make the argument, you have to look at all the details, that it should be a case of kol kavua, kimechsal mechsa. It's 50-50. Even though the majority, 95% of kalim are manufactured by goyim, and therefore you should not require tefillah, at least with the bracha. You should not make a bracha, because since kol kavua It's always going to be in halacha 50-50, and you have to work out the details to make the proper argument that it should be so. Maybe there's a svar to say that bizman hazeh, we should kemat never make a bracha on kalim unless we are absolutely certain that it was manufactured by a guy. So the Chazanish says no. The Chazanim Ruba, Nachmavakav, the Yisrael Kavua, Filuachi Choshev Perish. The Mitzias says, the Chazanish worked out the details, the math for us. It's always begetter called the parish. It's never in halacha called the situation when the subject was nilad and went to which store you entered. The subject is always where you find the piece of meat lying in the street. And when you find the piece of meat lying in the street, and now you enter the picture at a later point in time, then we follow the majority, and the majority are going, and therefore we can be make lafiluach chash peirish kefi haragil she'ein achen v'nimoytzi biyadu mibeis hachareshes ella hamoicher shalech lo yes haschora, because the mitzias is the moicher, the factory he sends the merchandise to the retailer. You don't buy it directly from a factory. You buy from a retailer. So the retailers are called a parish. All the retailers are buying it from the factories. So the factories are the chaznishes of the kavua. And the retailers are the parish. So when you buy from a retailer, it's called a parish. Meiru a parish. And if we go basaroy, v'reva goyim, you do require tefillah. Shlech eschel look l'havilei parish. Okay, next halacha. Zayin, enim nemonim al tefillahs kehelim ketanim, are not believed. A mother cannot give kehelim to her children and say, do me a toiva. You have nothing to do with yourself today. Instead of making trouble, go to the store, go to Happy Home, and be toiva the kehelim for me. Here is this nice gift we got, bar mitzvah becha, right? Let's go to the Happy Home and be toivel the kalim. He's a katan. A katan is not nemon. Einem nemonim al tefilas kalim. Ayim shal shuvas moiri maharash engel. B'mi sheba bi'akrai liyehudim hachashudim shlolitbol kelayim irashai le'echol lushlois etzam. Person was invited as a guest. We discussed the shayla. You're a guest. You're a guest at someone's home and they're serving you food. The food is certainly kosher. The food is certainly kosher. The problem is the kelim that they're serving you the food on may not be have tzvi. Let's say they're serving you a fruit, right? They're serving you a fruit dish, and the food isn't served in its own container, but they're giving you a fork. So it's cold. Nothing can possibly be wrong. The fork is cold, and it's fruit, everything is kosher, but this is a Jew. Was he toivel his kalim, his silverware?
So
if you go into a person, you have a doubt. 50-50. You don't know what this person's religious affiliation is. So when it comes, you can't. That's the way it is. You're stuck there. That's how it is. So when it comes to glass, here we come back to Nogi Alech Lamaisa, this idea again, when it comes to things only with the Rabbanon, glass, you can be Mekel. You don't need to be toivel. Avul gamichle matochas. But even when it comes to metal, which is deraisa, deroiv hapoyskim svilu d'tefilasim he deraisa mikol makom im yesh l'stabek shema hitvilam shema hivilam. I don't know what it means. Mibeis chareshes Yisrael. If there is a possibility that the person that you're eating by purchased the kalim from a factory, from a Jew, from a company. A Jewish company, they were manufactured by a company that is Jews. Yesh lishmoich eze al zeh b'shas hatchak. Another kula. Okay, he's trying to find for us leniencies. That if you go to a person that's a suffix, and when you want to add to that suffix, so they add a double suffix. Number one, it's a sex faker. Number one, maybe they were toivel. And even on the tzad, they were not toivel. Maybe there's a possibility that these kalim were purchased from a company that is owned by Jews. All right. Ches. Im shachach le'atvel mikodem. What happens if you forget to be toivel before Shabbos? So you're in a lot of trouble. So ready, Shabbos, and now what are you going to do? Tzai mishal shuvus maram shik. Oidei saminik shenagum okam echot she'ish im she'im. A shachar litbol kelim kodem ha'shabbos. Naigim shtelo ha'odam atzmai. V'ha'kelim v'yodai. A'adei ha'rama u'mitzadei sham li'yashev min hagam. Here the answer. Now we learned in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch what to do. What do we learn in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch? It's Shabbos. And you forgot, one of the different Eitzos, we forgot on Shabbos to be toivel your kalim. So what was the Eitzah? So if there's an Eruv and there's a well, so do a harama. So you go to the well to draw the water. You go to the well, you need some water for washing, not for eating. You need some water in your home to wash your hands when you come out of the Beis HaKisa. I need some water. I'm not drinking, it's not for eating purposes. So if you're not for eating purposes, you don't need to do B'tovel. You only need the B'tovel Kalim when you're going to eat. You don't need B'tovel Kalim for bathing. If you have a nice pot that you use for bathing, metal pot that's made by Goyim, you don't need to be toivel if you're not eating. So here, I need some bathing water for Shabbos. I need to wash my hands. Negovasa for Shabbos. So I'll take my... And this pot really is meant for food. So I'll take the pot to go to the well to bring home some water. Oh, look at that. I put the pot in the well. I put the pot in the well, so the pot was now been toivel. That was the answer that was given to us by the Kesher Shochanach. Let's say you don't have that solution. What was the next best thing to do? So we learned that you should give it as a gift to a guy, call him Johnny from across the street and say, I have a gift. See this beautiful crystal bowl? Cost only $1,000. We want to give it to you as a gift for your friendship. By the way, can we please borrow it for the rest of Shabbos? And by the way, don't ever come back and ask for it. We're not going to give it to you. So you have a trick. You go and you give it to us as a gift and then you borrow it. He has another solution. The other solution is, don't you have to go to mikveh Shabbos morning? Aren't you a good Hasid Shayid? A Hasid Shayid? You go to mikveh Shabbos, and that's not so posh to go to mikveh on Shabbos because whole shalav rechit of drying yourself. Okay, so we're dealing with people that also it's hot water. All these different. We're dealing over here from the people that are not. They go to mikveh. They don't have shilas. They go to mikveh. Rosh Hashanah. What? Women go Friday night to mikvah. Okay, but yeah, a person going so deep, when he goes to, oh, so you just casually forget yourself, you go into the mikvah with a pot in your hands. You want some, you know, you want to hold on to something. You want some leverage in the mikvah. Balance your weight. Balance your weight in the mikvah. So you tell the pot in the mikvah. So this was an eitz that was done. Oydus haminik. It appears this is a minik. Shnagu b'makam echad shem shachach litvul v'kelim kodem ha-shabbos naigim shetayvul adam atzmai v'akelim b'yodai ayin ayin ha-harama u'mitzadeh sham liyashev. And Hagam knew this is what people did, so he tries to miyashev. He's not obviously telling us to. I don't think it's going to work today. Today it's not very popular b'chalal to go to mikvah on Shabbos, at least not for men. I don't know women, I don't know, but men don't go unless Rosh Hashanah morning. Some people go Rosh Hashanah morning, that they go before Shofar or the Baal Tekeah. The Rebbes go, or the Chassid, yeah. The Chassid is a Shtibloch. They probably the very back that the Baal Tekeah himself should go before they blow Shofar, but people themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. I was a kid. Everybody was screaming.
Really.
Yeah.
Interesting, okay. Now here's another very interesting shayla. You only get in the shi'anim sinim halacha. What happens if you have a kli shalai nitbal, shenisari b'kelim shenitbu, gets mixed up. I have a kli, all my kelim I were toivel. But there's one kli I forgot to be toivel. I have one fork. I was toivel everything, but when we went to be toivel in mikvah, we left by mistake, we left that one fork. One fork, and then before I turn around, my kids, someone they mix them all up. So what do I do now? I have a whole set of silverware, 100 pieces, 99 with two had tefillin, one didn't have tefillah. Okay, I don't know the numbers. I'm not into this.
No, the reason why I say 55, I don't want you to invoke batel b'shishim.
Oh, but no, but kelim is a davar chashav. It's not. I feel the elef le bottle. It's a davar shebeminyan. A set of silverware lechayr is a davar shebeminyan. It's davar chashav. I feel the elef le bottle. So what are you going to do now? You have a whole collection of pots and pans or of individual pieces of flatware, and what are you going to do? The kli sheyesh ba b'liyas iser. Another shal. Let's say you have a tray for kli. You have a kli, it fell in, you have a milchadik, a fork, it falls into the chalent. It's mamish treif. It's teich yoyma. Let's say you used it in the morning for your coffee, and then it falls into the chalent. And a chalent, it's a big chalent pot, so the chalent is okay. Because the chalent is more than shishim, the chalent is more the shishim than the fork. So the chalent is okay. But the fork is treif. Okay, that's for sure. The fork is treif, because the fork is not shishim keneged. So what do you do now? So there we talk say we do say bittel b'roif. We don't say this true bittel b'roif. V'loy daninan b'davar sheyesh lematim lefitch etzach loitzi haitzos lagiloi because of the expense. So there is such a principle of saying that it's bottle b'shishim. Why don't we say that it's choshev? And I feel well if like bottle davar shemminyan. I do not know the answer. I don't know where you draw the line. I don't know the answer. The ashach. So he wants to say that just like there's something called bottle beroif, okay, bottle beroif, not even, you don't even mishishim. When it comes to kalim, you can be makel, bittel beroif, so certainly you can make when it comes to tefillah, when it comes to the kalim which were not been toivot. Why don't you go say that it's davar sheyesh leim atirin? You don't say bittel when there's a solution. What's the solution? You be toivot all the kalim again. The answer is no, it costs money. It's expensive to go and be toivel kale to hagala. It's an expense, so maybe it means there's an effort involved. I'm not exactly sure. Or here as well, being toivel it or being kashering it involves an expense. So then we do not apply the rule of davar sheyesh lo matirin. However, v'ashach evi maril shechilek al zeh, he disagrees. The agal hu davar muat, it's not called. It is a davar sheyesh lo matirin because it doesn't cost much to kasha. V'siyim sheyesh lechoshesh lezeh be'ein hefsim rubo, you have to be makbit. That's what he says. You have one piece of silverware that gets mixed up, you gotta retouble the whole thing all over again. There's no bittel. There's no bittel because you have a solution. The solution is retouble the entire thing. Ayin shem shechonach, the im biyod alasas ahetibul hefsid, havi bichlal dover sheish to matirim, the kasa bichach masodam, the be'eva tarach gadol, have behefsid. The ika, if there is toirach gadol, if you have a very great, it's a lot of work to go take the whole set of silverware down back to the mikveh to be toivel it. Toirach gadol have behavi kehefsid gadol. Fascinating insight into the laws of Yerideya that toirach gadol, a great effort, has the same status as a hefsid gadol. Vimkein. The imkain nira delelich lahatbu b'mikvah kol hakelim poshut hadavar shezeh. This is considered to be. We ran out of space here. Okay, so let me go look on the next handout. You have to turn to the new handout. It's a very long piece. Okay, look at the new handout. Toirach gedoyla. This is called the verb toirach. Beprat bizmanenu shehamikvos rechoykim, because the mikvos shehamikvos rechoykim. They're not nearby. You have to go walk to 22nd Street to go to the mikvah. They charge money. So therefore he holds that bizman hazeh, you can be makel, and if you have kalim which get mixed up, it's not a call a category of davar sheyesh loy matir. It's not a problem of, it should be also because yesh loy matir, because of the tircha meruba. A very big tirch has a status of hefsid gadol, and there's also an expense. You can be makel. Not everyone agrees. If it doesn't cost a penny, he doesn't take into consideration this idea of tirch meruba. So the Rabbi Brown is saying not so quick. When he makes that statement that if you don't have to pay any money, it's not davar sheyesh lo matirin, you have to also take into consideration tircha. Avol b'tircha mashma b'shas the orach echad yesh l'shneim, they have the same status. Erech, they have the same status. Tircha and expense are equal. Just because something does not cost money, it's still in the category of a tircha muba. Yesh l'shneim. The new handout. You have a new handout? A new hand on the first page. The erech echad yesh lehem hoitzas kesef hoitzuchas agof the ha'isa b'shas the amar Rabbi Huda Rabbi Zera the hoya loy losse sochak de liros pne hamelech mishum the amar biyachnu the elu mishad laadam loris lekras hamelech harei lecha de mirme hashas nesiva schar letirchas agof haynu ritz. The Gemara, I don't know the exact details of the Gemara, but the Gemara makes an equation between the tircha of going to a king, of paying money, and of exerting yourself physically. So since the Gemara, there, you have to look at the Gemara, the exact details, does make a comparison. We do see that tircha has the status of hefsid meruba. The ayin ol b'shas, gedoyla Tainis yois min atstaka. My time. Ze begufa. Ah, this is a beautiful raya. Ze begufa of ze bimemoina. You see, fakert. Tirchon deguf, the tsar of the guf is even greater. A tainis is greater than tainis is gedoyla than staka. Staka, you just write out a check. A tainis, you suffer physically. And the Gemara says that's greater. Why is that greater? Because the tsar of the gufa is more significant than the what it hurts to pay, to write out money to pay from your funds. So therefore, when it comes to questions of halacha, of davar sheyesh le'matim, where we have a heter, hefsid muba, you can be makel also when it comes to a situation where we have a tircha. My time, v'shas yisul hepuch, begufa, atrichu rabbanan, b'moyin aloy atrichu rabbanan. Oh, we have a situation, a chazal, sometimes say fakert, that only matriach you to do things with your guf, they're not matriach you to do things with your money, or mashma, so other place in Shas Mashma, the Choshev, the Mammon, Choshev Yosef Mitzvichas Kufay, Yesh Litchais, it's not always a Rai. You have to go look, you just bring a Falpel, beautiful little shtickle over here, that you find in Shas, sometimes Guf is more Choshev, sometimes Mammon is more Choshev. The Harav Hagoyin Maharam Palik, Mis Serich, what's that?
Serich, a town in
Serich, Kosavli, Raya, Beruda, the Tirchas, Haguf, Havi, Beotzos, Kesef, has the same thing. Void Odof, Mine, Do Isam, Shas. Tirchas, Haguf is more Choshev than, has more, carries more weight in Halacha, Benogea, Tzvila, in our situation, than Mammon, from a Gemara, the Seicher, Sapoyel, the person who hires a worker. V'nishlum, V'nishluma, Malachtai, Bechatzi, Hayoim, and he finishes his work in the middle of the day, nois maischaroi, the poil bottle, that you give him for the remainder of the day, you give him, since you hired him for a whole day, and he finished the work, you don't need to pay him what he would do of the hard labor. Let's say you pay someone to do labor, skill labor, and the skill labor is, let's say, $50 an hour, and you hire him with the understanding that he's going to work for you 10 hours, and then after 5 hours, he's finished. So you only have to pay him for 5 hours, $50 an hour for the skill labor. But being that you blocked out his time, now it's impossible for him to go get another job because the day is the middle of the day. So you don't. So you still mechuyev to pay him for the remainder of the day, but you're not mechuyev to pay him for the remainder of the day, $50 an hour. You pay him for the remainder of the day, the minimum wage, schar bottle. That's the halach. That's the gemara. That's the gemara mesechet bava mitzia. Famous gemara. The asechus apoyel for nishmulo malachle bechatzi hayoyim. So what am I supposed to do now? You hired me for the whole day, and it turns out that there was a misunderstanding. I finished the work 50 middle of the day. Nice my schar for the other half of the day. You give him the schar the apoyel bottle minimum wage. The hainu sheshamin ni shehiskir atzmilu malacha zok hamacha yoritzel livchayis mischar leishe bottle. What schar bottle? Schar bottle is calculation. How much will you be willing to pay to do nothing, just to have a day off, a vacation day? People, I'm not going to take a vacation day. I need the money, so I can't take a vacation. But I'll take vacation if you'll pay me something. In other words,
paid vacation.
But not a full pay. Not you don't get your full salary. It'll be kedai for me to take vacation if you'll give me half the salary. That'll be kedai. That's what you pay for the rest of the day. That's the calculation of pearl bottle.
So they're doing the kosher plants. They're paying for, you know, even though these guys, a lot of them are working 10, 11 hours on a regular day, but when it's like Yom Kippur, a vacation day, they get 8 hours.
Uh-huh.
No, that's all.
They just get the
yeah, they don't get overtime.
Okay, they get even less.
You won't accrue to an overtime.
You get paid based on 40 hours rather than 60.
Here you're gonna get even less. Here, let's see.
Oh, but that's also at least New York State law. I can understand that.
Yeah.
Ayin Shem Harel Lecha the other merutz a person's willing sheyif chesuloy mischarav yeah yoshev bottle kedai limnoy atzma mitircha al kolponim hadaver toli imhu tircha. Now what is it over here? Al kolponim. What is this entire concept of giving a person schar b'teila? Hadaver toli imhi tircha gedoylo imayse kolduhu. The whole concept of how much you're willing to pay a person not to work all depends on how much tircha, how much. Effort he has to exert in order to work. If it's tircha gedoyla, a lot of work, yesh ledoyna ke'ein lo matirin. The shaper bottle. If it's a tircha gedoyla, it's a lot of work, then Yesh Ladoino Kein Loy Matirin, the shopper bottle, then he'll be very willing not to work. Then it's much easier. Okay, I'm not exactly sure the details of this raya, but you find that when you make the calculation of how much schar betela, that you do take into consideration of how much effort a person has to exert himself when he works, and that will be part of the calculation. So you see that effort is equal to money. That's the point he just wants to make. When a person does physically hard labor, and now you tell him, listen, don't work today, and I'll give you something. So if he does very easy labor, so it says, no, it's not kedai for me. I'd much rather work, because what do? I pierce pearls. I don't exert myself. My skills are so high level, I can make $100 an hour, and when the day is over, I don't feel anything. I don't feel the strain. There's no strain in the work that I do. I would be very happy to walk away when the day is over with $1,000. So you want to pay me not to work? No. I would much rather work. It's not good. I would much rather make $1,000. But if a person he carries bowling balls the whole day, that's what his job is. You're carrying heavy loads the whole day, and he makes an hour $50 an hour, and you tell him, you know what, don't work there, I'll pay you $5 an hour, it might be worth it. Because the work is such hard work, there's so much tircha and echnami. But the ratio of how willing a person will be able to not work, and you'll pay him a few dollars, is much different when the work involves a lot of tircha. If the work that you do is just skilled work and there's no tircha, it's much harder to strike a deal with a worker. If the work that a person does involves a lot of tircha, you're very eager not to work. Because it's hard. It's hard work. I don't want to work. I don't want to work. If you'll make it worth my while that I'll have enough money to pay my bills and not have to exert myself, I'm very willing to take a small amount of money and not kill myself. So what do you learn from that? You learn that tircha is money. You learn from that tircha, effort, is the value in terms of dollars and cents. So when it comes to a question of davar shegeish lematirin, if I have a question, if I have a utensil, and the utensil needs can be fixed by having it, by doing something. So in halach, it's clear that if you have to pay money to fix it, then you don't call davar shegeish lematirin. Since we find that tircha is also in halacha evaluated in terms of dollars and cents, when it comes to schar b'teila, it's the same exact thing. Even though you don't have to pay money to have it fixed, but if you have to exert yourself to go and schlep, to haul these heavy kalim to a mikvah far away, it's a lot of tircha. That's also called money. And when you're dealing with money, halacha says it's not a davar sheyesh lematir. And so too, when this tircha, it's not a davar sheyesh lematir. So he's mafalpul in this thing. Then he concludes over here. Vika shayel hanal kozad li vilachatchila yesh oil estabik igam b'mitzvah shayech b'bitul shal yidei aroi v'yipot odem b'tilas keli. When it comes to a mitzvah, another issue we discuss, another beautiful topic, another issue he brings out. This idea of being bittel, where do we play bittel? It's not by mitzvos, it's by chulin. You're sitting at home, you have dinner, it's Sunday night, Thanksgiving dinner, and you have all your guests, it's a mitzvah. Thanksgiving dinner is a mitzvah. And now the turkey, there's a shiloh. The turkey was cooked in a trefa pot. Or the turkey, the ingredients used in the turkey was not 100%. So what do? So do you say bittel? Okay, so there's a shayla, there's a shishim, not shishim, there's davar sheyesh lamatirin, ein lamatirin. You're not dealing with mitzvahs. But you have a kli, and the kli has to be tovel in the mikvah. Why do you have to be tovel kli in the mikvah? It's a mitzvah. Because it came from a non-Jew. A non-Jew, there's contamination. And the Torah, Parashas Matos, says you have to be matir, it's a mitzvah. Now, one of my kelim, I was not tovel. And it got mixed with all the other kelim. So shayla is one kli bottle in the other kelim. It's a different type of bittul. It's a bittul on an object that requires tefillah because it's a mitzvah to be tovel the kli. Not like your Thanksgiving dinner, which is no mitzvah. It's just a matter of chulin. It's just a mundane piece of turkey. So that's a baby memorial. The chayshu kasev l'mishnah the chorin animalim shebesoich hakama. Rav Meir Hakol Laniim, the Hikshu dealing over there with giving the mitzvah of Lekat Shechan Peah. Okay, so I don't know the exact details. The details over there are in a situation where you have, leket shikhan peya. When you harvest your crop, you're supposed to leave over parts of the grain for the poor people. Let's say they got mixed up. You did leave it over, or you didn't, whatever the situation is. And then it gets mixed up. There's a taruvis. So there's a shayla, it's bottle. We do apply the principles that in a case where a situation arises where some of the leket, which is the property of the poor man, gets mixed up with the part of the grain, which is the balabayas, we do say bittel. Why do you say bittel? But isn't it a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah to give the leket, the poor, the portions to the poor people. So the answer must be that in a chanami, even when it comes to a mitzvah, we do say the rules of bittel. Omechich beferish the dina the bittel beroyv shaykh gam be mitzvah. So you see, you can be lenient and you can apply bittel even when dealing with an issue where the object needs tefillah requires a mitzvah. Gederich eis b'shas hatfasa. Now I'm going to print. He's writing. Harali didi harav hagoyin mareinu harav chayim kan me
Budapest.
Thank you very much. I would never figure that out. B'shalas and shuvis to shuras shai shedon b'shele zu because b'shitos the choshev dover sheyeh shloi matida mishum the efsher levat little tovla. He disagrees with everything I said. As I'm going to print, I've seen this in Rav Khan. Rav Chaim Khan says no such thing. If you have a utensil and the utensil is not put in the mikvah and it gets mixed up with all of your other kalim, no excuses. It's a davar sheyesh loy matirin. There's a solution. Go to the mikvah, be tovlet, and don't come out any excuses of bittel, and don't tell me that it's a tircha and it's an expense. It's a small expense. The fee they charge to get into the mikvah, it's a small expense. Tircha? Who says tircha is an excuse? You want to tell me, and also, it's a mitzvah. Therefore, you have no choice. So that is the balance. We come over here, a beautiful sugya. Over here, kalim, which get mixed up. New yisoides. The yisoides of mitzvah. Do you say bittel by mitzvah? And do we say bittel when it comes to tircha de gufa? What status is your tircha de gufa play in being lenient and not requiring dava sheyesh loy matin? Okay, so that concludes this. Now, I'm not finished yet. I want to just go over you very quickly in the... And the Aura of Shabbos. Okay, this is a beautiful sefer. It's came out only a few months ago. By Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn. I'm sure you've only seen this cover. He has like probably 10 books with the same exact cover, different colors. Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn. He has many books. This is the latest in his series on the laws of Shabbos. And in this edition, he has a collection of all these odd and end in Yanim. It's not really one topic. And one topic he has a few pages on Tzvilas Kalim. Tzvilas Kalim. He has an excellent section on Tzvilas Kalim. Let me find a word. Shabbos, clothes, linen, clothing, traveling with Shabbos, primitive clothes. Okay, page 119. Okay, this I found to be very interesting. 119. Okay. It's only a few pages, and then at the end, I want to just run through very interesting. He goes through common items. Do they require tefillah or not? What do the Gedolei Yisrael have to say? Now, it's some of them are not clear. Let's go through. I'll test you. I'll test you. Apple slicer. Anyone have one of those things? Like a potato peeler almost, right? So does it require tefillah? Absolutely. With a bracha or not? Two questions. The question is tefillah, bracha, no bracha. So the answer is why? It comes in contact with the food. Right after you slice the peel. What? It's a chiddush. Everything here is a single chiddush.
With you, it's not a
oh, in a chanami. You're right. So that's what you learn from this. It's a chiddush. It's a chiddush. Everything here, he's not telling you obvious things. He's telling you chiddushim. That being that the apple peeler does leave over, it prepares the apple so that you can eat. You can eat, I guess, the apple. And maybe you can eat the peels also. Some people, they slice the peel, eat the peels also. It comes in direct contact with the food and it's metal. The peeler is obviously metal. The handle may be plastic. The peeler is metal. It requires tefillah with a bracha. Baby spoon. It's plastic coated. At first, it's for a child. And it's coated with plastic. So they make metal baby spoons today? I'm sure they do. What?
They coat it with something.
What? They don't have metal?
Plastic.
Yeah, but
you what? You can't have a metal baby spoon?
So being that
it's completely concealed, this does not the baby. It seems like today that's I don't know, but it seems like it's not in style today to feed babies with metal spoons. That's what it seems from this book, and all baby spoons are coated with a significant layer of plastic. That's what it seems. You do not make a bracha. On tefillah on a baby spoon, even though it's metal,
because
it's a chiddush. It's metal, but it's coated with plastic. There's no bracha. Okay, this thing. Okay, a bowl. That's a put of a posh metal or glass. Obviously, tefillah with a bracha. Glass is midrabon. Metal is the rice. That's not a chiddush. A bread box. Bread box. It's a very interesting chiddush. You make a bracha on a bread box. Bread box is made from wood, right? Let's say it's
metal.
Let's say metal bread box. Wood for sure not. Let's say it's metal. So he says no tefillah. Why? It's for storage.
Right.
It's not for eating. Things that are storage, you don't. Now he brings down the Moshe Paskins, a metal bread box does not require tefillah. It's mamish in the category of storage. Total storage, not certain. It's storage, even though the bread comes in the context. However, Omnam, he brings down here on the bottom, Yesh Paskim Shasayim, Shach Tefillah B'li Bracha. There are places in this where you need to be without a bracha. Okay, next. A cake decorator. You ever see on television? Decorate cakes? So, metal, with a metal spout. You need tefillah? Of course. Direct contact with the food, the cream. Who doesn't need the cream? Tefillah with the bracha. Can opener. Tough question. A can opener.
Touches the tooth of this
food. Does it? Not really.
No.
Not really.
It does touch it.
Depends what kind of candle.
Tuna fish will touch it.
Okay, he paskins here. He paskins on the top. No tefillah. Zero. It doesn't come in contact with the food. It's a can. The can is not. It's not the food. It's not the preparation of the food. It's pashut. A can open the opening of the can.
Serves the can.
So maybe it touched a little bit of the tuna. Alright, so if that's not what you don't require tefillah for that. You don't require it's not proof. However, number 29. No, that's it. Klar. No one disagrees. Less mind the pollen. Okay? You don't need a tefillah on a can open. Next. A challah board. Okay, now if it has a wooden insert. That's pashut. Anything wood. Wood is out. Okay? Never, ever. Wood never requires tefillah. Of course not. What about if you have glass? Say you go to Eichel, they have all these fancy challah boards. Some of them are made from glass. Metal, they have silver. Silver, not really. They would never have cut mamash on the silver itself. They wouldn't do that.
Trim.
Okay, the trim, but that's bottle. That doesn't count. Where are you cutting the challah on? When are you cutting the challah? Okay, you're not going to find, I don't think you're going to find in the store that you can cut the challah on the silver itself. Not likely. No, not going to happen. But today, high tech, wooden, right, so you don't require tefillah. And if you have the silver, no, that does not come in contact. That's a tray that does not come in contact with the food. You do not require tefillah on the silver challah board. It has a silver trimming, a silver base. But what about if it's a glass? Today, go into the Judaica stores you want to buy. They have a lot of these high tech. They have glass. Does it require tefillah? Then, without a bracha. I don't know why without a bracha. I don't know. It doesn't say why. Think about it. Why not? It doesn't tell us the reason here. A challah board, glass cutting surface without a bracha. Why? Because I guess it means because you're not eating from it. It's only like a serving. It's not the actual plate that you eat from. You cut, and then you give it, you distribute the bread to your guests. So it's not the actual utensil which you're eating from. No bracha. Chiddush.
Picking off the board, it's a tray.
I guess if you're eating off the board itself.
The tray, you know.
So, but you do require tzila.
The knife that you cut bread with.
Of course, tzila. Of course, that's pashut. Of course,
you're
but not, the tray. No, but the knife is coming in more in contact. It's more direct. It's a very good point you're making.
An apple slice.
You're right. It's hard. It requires tzila. It does require tzila without a bracha. It's
without a bracha.
I guess it's a combination. You have to also understand. He's not giving us the full breakdown. He told him in the Hagdam. He says, "I'm not giving you the whole shiur. I'm giving you just a few pages. I'm just based back." I guess also it's glass. Keep that in mind. Glass only chayven tefila midrabbanan, and it's not something that you're eating from. It's only assisting in the cutting. It's not even directly part. You can cut bread in midair, so you get a little more pressure. You put it on the board. I guess when you combine all these factors together, you're not eating from it. You're not actually cutting against it. You're using it just to apply some pressure. You require tefila. Okay, we're not going to let you get away with nothing, but you don't make a bracha. That's the point he wants to make. Okay, let's go now to containers. Okay, you have a container of food storage, glass or metal, tefillah without a bracha. He holds it, all containers. Why is this different than a bread box? I don't know. I really don't know the reason. He holds out a container for food storage, is glass or metal, tefillah without a bracha. Yes. A bread box, he brought a machlokes apoiskim. A bread box, either no tefillah, some say... I don't know. What about a cork?
The storage, like they used to have the old tins, the coffee tea.
Yeah.
It's not packaged in the tin. But the bread box, a lot of times the bread will be in a package. So it's not even...
It's not even touching. Aha. Okay, you make a chalk. Okay, it's a very good point. Okay. Cork, I don't know why you bring this down. It's pashut. You don't need to buy special cork. It's wood. You don't have to be terrible cork. A cork screw. No tefillah. No tefillah, because think about it. It's not coming in contact with the food. The rule of thumb is, first of all, does it ever come in contact with the food? If it never comes, then it's pashut. Cork does come out of the food, so it's pashut. A crack pot. Oh, this is a complicated child. Crack pots. It says in the inserts, if it's a ceramic insert, you know, of course not. No, but he goes, he says, it's ceramic. Well, ceramic, it depends on how, you know, ceramic tastes glazed. So,
ceramic glaze does not need tefillah.
So it all depends. So ceramic insert, so tefillah without it. So he has a ceramic insert, tefillah without a bracha. All right, this is very common. You have to go glass cover. If it's a glass cover, tefillah with a bracha. If it's a glass cover, I guess the food comes in direct contact. You know, when the food bubbles, the food bakes. Even though the cover is it's the cover. But that's already considered to be in contact with the food, it says. So you need to do tefillah with a bracha. If it's metal, Teflon coated, insert tefillah without a bracha. If it's coated, metal that's coated, but derech klal does not require a bracha. Outside shell, no tefillah. Okay, that's a very complicated thing, which we have to go into more details. Cutting boards. Okay, people have on their counter cutting boards. So if it's wood or plastic, plastic does not require tefillah. We paskin, you don't require tefillah. Some people are extreme chumrah to say that since plastic you can melt down, so plastic should have a status like glass. That's not accepted. That's a very big chumrah. With oilam is not nizer in that. But if it's what? But theoretically. Okay, a cutting board if it's made from wood or plastic, no tefillah. If it's glass, a glass cutting board, tefillah with a bracha. Why is a cutting board different than a challah board? I don't know. I guess there's more pressure. It's more like the knife. A cutting board is more critical in the cutting than a challah board. A challah board is not really... It's more for design. He doesn't explain. He differentiates between a cutting board and a challah board. A glass challah board...
Cutting board is like cutting a piece of meat.
Right. Okay, there's more. There's much more contact. There's much more direct contact and much more need in a cutting board than a challah tray. He makes that distinction.
A lot of times you're cutting with heat.
Okay, a decanter. Okay, decanter. That's a tough car, Shiloh. Decanter. What?
Cutting board.
If it's wood, no tefillah. Glass with a bracha. A cutting board, if it's glass, tefillah with bracha. Decanter. Decanter, I don't know what that is. It's the big wine bottle. Tefillah with a bracha. It's not storage. That's serving. That's called serving. It's serving, therefore, with a bracha. Drinking glasses, bracha, tefillah bracha, egg slicer. What about an egg slice? No, you put the egg in. What do you? Of course, with the bracha, it's metal. It comes in contact. Of course, a grater, potato grater, with the bracha, pashit, honey dish. So it's made from China. China, of course. So he says, I don't know why glass tefillah, honey dish, China tefillah without a bracha. Why do you require tefillah? China. I don't know why he says that. China, you don't mean not table China. China, not table, unless it's a thick glaze. So maybe that's what he means here. Glass or silver, if you have a honey dish, glass or silver tefillah with a bracha, because that's metal. Hot water urn. Of course, it's metal, and it's contact with the water itself, heating up the water with a bracha. Oh, it's electric. You got some trouble. You got a problem. You got a big problem. If it has a computer, if you got a computer in there,
they never dry.
You never want to dip a computer into water. You don't want to dip a computer into water. It's not so good. Now, if it's not everywhere depends. You have to ask them in the store. You have to ask them in the Buzz. If you ask a Jewish store, they have experience. What?
You have Google in there.
They say they're already. You don't have to.
If it's separate, what? If it's owned by a Jew, what?
The pump pots by the Buzz.
Yeah.
They say you don't have to title it.
Why not?
I don't know. I didn't read the fine print.
I don't know where they are. I don't know where they are. Yeah. Oh, those pump pots?
Yeah.
Because they're made by Jews. They're made in Israel. Those are made by Jews. A lot of those pump pots are made by Jews.
I know. I read.
They even come in Hebrew boxes. Well, I came in a box. It comes. Yeah. So that's why. But if it's not made by a Jew, you got a problem. It's so it depends. They know what to do. There are certain computer electronic things that does no harm. You put them in water. You let it soak in water, and then you let it thoroughly dry. You wait 48 hours. It's fine. There are certain things that it's not so easy. It's not going to work. Don't take your iPhone and try it. It's not going to work. The iPhones don't work, but some of the hot water.
So they don't work in a wash.
Some of the water, they weren't. Okay. A hot plate. Look at the cars. Look at Sandy. Sandy, that was because of the salt. All of those cars, if not for the salt, the car, most of it would have been okay, the cars. It's only because of the salt, the corrosion, that's why the cars didn't work. Hot plates. What about a hot plate? No tefillah.
No,
it's not metal. It doesn't come in contact with the food on the pot. Exactly. Sorry, that. Ice cream scooper. It's metal. So, of course, tefillah with a bracha. A kettle. That's pasha. Tefillah with a bracha. A kiddush cup.
Yes.
Tefillah without bracha. I don't know. Why? Why is that a bracha? It's made by Jews? Who else makes kiddush cups?
Chinese. Have people bring
I don't know.
Goblet and you buy things.
I don't know what. So what does it say here? I don't know. I do not know. I do not know.
Does he have anything?
I don't know. No. He doesn't say anything of it. I do know. I know. I was shocked. I was shocked when I saw this. I don't know. A knife. Of course, a ladle, aluminum ladle. Aluminum is a different type of metal. So tefillah without a bracha. Aluminum, stainless steel tefillah without a bracha. These ladles, they're metal. So what? So it's a ladle. It's not mamish. You're not going to eat from it. A ladle is in the pot, into the serving. So since you're not mamish going to come in contact with it
the
when
women,
you,
the women cooking are going to taste.
They taste. That's not in the category. He paskins here without a bracha.
It's too hot to
Yeah, maybe when you talk about other things, see paskins here a ladle. Seemingly, that's not something that you come in direct contact with. You don't go put the ladle into your mouth. It comes kind of with the food, but it's. A lot of these things that require more and more heads, which I don't know. A meat slicer, of course, you make a bracha. Nutcracker. Do you require to feel a nutcracker?
You don't eat the outside of
it. Oh, but sometimes you... He says you tzvila without a bracha. 30 on the bottom, of Moshe Feinstein.
The concept of bracha levatala. In other words, if he says without a bracha, and you happen to make a bracha.
Yeah, it's bracha levatala.
There is a concept.
Yeah, of course. Okay, a pot. Okay. Aluminum pot. Aluminum, it appears that aluminum is a machla. I don't know why. Aluminum, people don't make, but aluminum pots, people tefillah would says here without a bracha. That's what it says. Aluminum pot, aluminum is a type of metal which is not in the Torah. And even though it should be like glass, I don't know, that's what it says. Cast iron with a bracha. Painted. The outside is painted, but it's coated with a bracha. Doesn't matter. Porcelain coated without a bracha. Stainless steel with a bracha. Teflon without a bracha. A pot cover, you make a bracha. A cover of the pot, you make a bracha. Metal pot cover, you make a bracha. A salt shaker, you make a bracha. Blech, that's pashat. You don't make a bracha on a blech. Because you know the food don't come in contact with the food. A sieve comes in contact with the food. You make a bracha. Silverware with a bracha. A strainer with a bracha. A tea kettle with a bracha. A thermos. A glass lined thermos with a bracha. Plastic. Today a lot of the thermoses today, they're not really glass. You gotta know what you're buying. The inside is not glass. It's plastic, no bracha. A wine bottle, bracha. A wooden mixing spoon, no bracha. Okay, so these are some of the Rosh Hashanah. We'll take a little break. We'll make a minyan. We have exactly a minyan. What are we going to do over here?
We have 11. So.
Okay, yeah, okay, so...
He didn't disappear.
Anyone leaving? Is everyone going to stay for mincha?
Everyone yes.
We need every last person.
Yes.
Are you staying? 12:06. Only 15 minutes.
12:06, man?
Yeah.
We need you.
You're number 10. You're trapped.
Uncle Sam.